The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Anything But Coy, Be Warned. Coy Leray will not play shy, and she plans to keep taking up space in the music industry. To be a black woman in the music business, you have to have thick skin. Everything from your hairstyle to your fashion choices to your weight is held under a huge microscope to be picked apart by social media trolls, celebrity gossip platforms, and judgy bystanders. And if you can't take it, the industry will simply chew you up and spit you out. But while Coy Leray may have been burned by body shamers, including some of her own peers in the past, she isn't sweating anybody. Instead, she has been in the studio recording her next album and raking up hits like LeBron James rakes up championship rings. The Boston-born baddie's fame comes as no surprise to her. You can tell by the self-assurance she exudes, not only on stage or in front of the camera, but also on her days off. Her chill, nonchalant, yet goofy spirit can even be felt through the phone. When I ask about how she remains confident after receiving so much criticism about her body, she pauses for a brief moment, then says seriously and with a hint of sarcasm, "Well, people tell me I'm like the baddest thing in the whole world." She bursts out laughing before adding, "That's just what it is. I'm cute. How could anybody not see it?" She may be only 5'4", but her belief in herself is through the roof, in spite of, or more likely because of, her humble beginnings. Raised in Hackensack, New Jersey, she grew up in a household with 4 brothers and a divorced mom. Being the only girl forced her to tap into her tough athletic side, adding a few more layers to her already dynamic personality. As she started working her way up the music industry ladder, it was revealed that Benzino, the love and hip-hop star and co-owner of The Source magazine, was Coy's biological father. After the news broke, the two had public exchanges over social media regarding their rocky relationship and Coy's single-parent upbringing. In her hit song, No More Parties, she gives listeners an idea of her feelings about her father when she raps, "My daddy let me down, but I promise you I won't let up. I want to say forget that man, but this crap won't make me better." In April 2021, Benzino announced that he wanted to squash the controversy with his daughter. Nonetheless, the trauma was real, and though Coy may have agreed to move on, she also poured her emotions into her music, eventually landing a record deal with Republic Records. It may have seemed like an easy come up, yet Coy was on the fence about her next step. "When I was 16, I dropped out of high school," she says. "I was on my own doing sales. I was just trying so many different things, but I've always loved music. The No Ceilings, Lil Wayne era was like one of my favorite eras of music, even when Chicago Drill started coming out. You got people like Chief Keef, G Herbo, Rondo, Number 9, Le Capone, Katie Got Bands, I Fell in Love with Drill Music, and 808s. So I always knew I'd know what to do when they put me on the mic. She was wrong. In 2017, she started gaining the attention of listeners online when she released her heavy-hitting singles, Gan and Pat Girl, both of which were later included on her 2018 debut mixtape, Everything 'Cause. The following year, she continued to make a name for herself with the hit Hoodie. The ice cream truck inspired beat became a certified bop. Koi's Don't Mess With Me attitude and tomboyish vibe was a carryover from her recent projects. That early straightforward gangsta sound would bear little resemblance to the cutesy, higher-pitched, auto-tuned voice she adopted for future projects, which kicked her career into full gear. She officially took off after her Billboard Hot 100 chart-topping song No More Parties featuring Lil Durk and Big Pur with Pooh Shiesty, which was being played on every radio station and used in TikToks. Koi's wide musical range was showcased through her ability to rap, sing, create catchy ad-libs, and write lyrics worthy of Instagram captions. As her music was taking flight, her signature knotless braids with curly ends became the look of 2021, eventually becoming known as Koi Leray Braids. This new take on box braids sent hairstylists, hair gurus, and YouTubers into a frenzy as they learned how to recreate the trend, all of which caught Koi by surprise. When I first came into the game, I was really young. I didn't have my glam team, Koi reflects. Where I'm from, we might have some braiding shops where you go and get some nice, tight box braids. Or you'll get a nice wash and set for $40, and that's it. Koi has come a long way from those $40 wash and sets, and these days her hair isn't the only hot style topic. The public also had a lot to say about her clothing choices, usually showing off her fit midsection with tiny crop tees or bra-style tops with low-rise pants or a micro-mini skirt. Koi's style pays true homage to that of the Y2K artist she grew up admiring. I'm very open to constructive criticism, she says. I'm a very good listener, and other people's opinions do matter in some cases. But at the end of the day, it always comes down to my opinion and what I want. This is my world. Other people are just living in it. Over the span of 5 years, the fiery high school dropout from Jersey kicked down the door and propelled herself into the spotlight. And now, in true Taurus fashion, she refuses to take her foot off the music industry's neck. In 2022, she released her debut album, Trendsetter, which included big-name collaborators like Nicki Minaj, Her, Young Ma, Lil Tecca, Polo G, and a Boogie with Da Hootie. Partnering with The Barb, the song Blick Blick became another win on Koi's growing list of accolades. In the video, Koi and Nicki stand back to back with their blickies in hand, like modern day Charlie's Angels. It was a vision. Later that year, Koi added another hit to the Billboard charts with her unforgettable song and trending TikTok audio, players. Sampling Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Fives, The Message, the jam was an instant fan favorite and became a go-to pregame and party anthem. Content creators on TikTok even remixed the song and created a viral dance to it, the Gen Z way of saying this song slaps. The single was an uplifting contrast to what Koi was actually experiencing behind the scenes. When I dropped my last album, she reveals, people got a kick out of making me a headline. There was so much pain and stuff that I was going through. Now, after these past couple of months, I've been having the most success of my entire career. You can just hear how much fun I've been having in this new music and how much it took a shift. Pain to the pain is no longer here. Just days before our interview, Koi released her new singles box and My Body, on which she samples Leslie Gore's famous 1960 hit song, It's My Party. Though she was disappointed that she had to swap out some of the original lyrics due to the amount of profanity in the first version of the song, its message is still the same. It's her body, and she can do what she wants and who she wants with it. The song holds up a middle finger to the internet trolls who, for the majority of her career, scrutinized her appearance and body shamed her natural petite physique. Body shaming is nothing new in the music industry, especially in hip hop. Artists like Nicki Minaj, Little Kim, and Cardi B have all been targets of society's damaging dialogue around what they do with their body. Ironically, while some of Koi's fellow women, MCs, have been judged for their body alterations, Koi gets put down for her lack thereof. In hip hop, if you look back into history, there were a lot more women who looked like me, she points out. Over time, people started doing enhancements, which is also fine. I don't judge anybody, but I feel like when I do go into the game, it reminded women it's okay to just be the girl you were born to be. Standing firm in her authenticity, Koi notes that in her upcoming album, fans can expect a versatile and different sound. Though she can't share too many details, she describes the album as giving, I'm here to stay, I'm that girl, get ready. This energy inspires hope for more party anthems, daring lyrics, standout hooks, and tastefully sampled beats to come. I never really got to tell my story, how I grew up, and where I've been, Koi reflects. So this year, I'm going to do a better job of getting closer with my fans and really getting my story out there. Her refreshing candor and unapologetic stance affirm that there is no perfect way to be successful as a woman in hip-hop. Doubters can point fingers at her weight and turn their nose up at her style, but this Jersey girl is laughing all the way to the bank with an army of fans behind her. The next article is titled, She's Still Miss Thang. Monica has been in the career trenches for more than 30 years. Now as she preps for her return to the charts, she's dominating on stage, reopening her heart to romance, and settling comfortably into her auntie era. Few recording artists can boast consistent relevance and influence over 30 years. Even fewer achieve it before hitting age 42. But Monica is a rare one. She burst onto the scene in 1995 as a powerhouse vocalist and captivating stage performer when she was only still 14. Her debut album, Miss Thing, declared her our new it girl. Since then, she has remained in high demand year after year, consistently booked and often on tour. Honestly, I always say it has to be in you, not on you, the singer says of her enduring industry prowess during a late spring Zoom call slipped in between other appointments. She credits her parents for teaching by example, directly witnessing their hard-working drive instilled a work ethic that she's carried since very early in life. When I started to work, I was still a child, but even at 12 and 13 years old, I maintained a certain type of schedule, she says, noting that her work-life balance had to adjust as she aged, had children, got married, and began juggling other ventures on top of stage and studio time. That balance, I've just kept and maintained it. I still love the stage. It's a level of therapy that happens for me there because I get a chance to feel the energy of the crowd. Keeping that energy alive has been integral to Monica's career longevity with her long-awaited 8th studio album, Trenches, currently in production. I think there's been a little frustration toward me when it comes to releasing Trenches, and I completely understand why and take full accountability, she says, noting that multiple losses in her family have slowed her creative process. But I would rather the music be late and great than be right away and missing elements that I know should be there. That palpable therapeutic energy goes both ways between the R&B star and her fans, who still clamor to see her perform after making her first artist with chart-topping singles across 3 consecutive decades and placing her streaming numbers in the hundreds of millions. The audience knows that I'm being honest with them, she says, of her connection to her fans. When I've made mistakes in my life, I created music about it. I didn't hide it when I experienced different things. I talked about it and I shared about it. That is what's kept me connected to different generations of people throughout the years. That frankness, realness, openness, and occasionally biting honesty have put Monica in a unique space as an entertainer. She is both lovingly and jokingly referred to by her fans as Gonica because, as her 18-year-old son, Rodney, aka Rocco, explained on a September 22 IG Live with Stacey Abrams, she don't play. She also became meme fodder after being teased for her now infamous old school low-heeled white sandals she wore in the video for her 1995 hit Before You Walk Out of My Life. But that's just more proof that she enjoys an organic vitality that many work to manufacture, paired with a respect for her artistry that many yearn to achieve. When I'm out and I hear somebody shout, "Auntie, how you doing? I grew up with you," I look at that as an enduring term, she says, of the nickname others might receive as derisive. It's a level of affection that they are showing to me because they know that I've been there. They know that I don't see myself any different than they see themselves. I just have a different profession. When they say auntie, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign of love. And I've never taken it any other way. Though she loves being auntie, she is admittedly ready for those white sandal memes to fade into the distance. It is hilarious because I was 13, 14 years old, and the last thing I cared about was my shoes, she says with a laugh about the new iconic look. I really was trying to change my family's life. So it is hilarious looking at it now because those white shoes come up all the time. In fact, I recently won a fashion award, and at the end of my speech, I asked, could we please retire the white shoes for once and for all? Because I did not pick them out. Monica has come a long way since those shoes, even rising to the status of style icon, known for avant-garde, fashion-forward looks that blend high-end labels with affordable styles. Though she wasn't picking out each of her looks in her teen years, Monica sees that her flair for style was always within her. People don't really recognize that I grew up and found who I was as far as fashion's concerned, right in front of their eyes, she says. When you met me, I was 13. But if you look at my very first album, I picked out an over-the-knee boot, and it's on the cover. Her style choices may have been bold back then, but that boldness became more nuanced as she learned more about herself and her taste. I just turned 18 by the time of my sophomore album, The Boy Is Mine, she reflects. That's when I started to truly come into who I was as far as fashion was concerned. In the video for The Boy Is Mine, I remember being obsessed with the black skirt with the extremely high split. That's something I would still wear to this day. Monica prides herself on continuing to grow. Her latest identity is as a mother of teens. She recently saw her eldest 18-year-old Rodney off to prom, in style, of course, while her second child, Romello, is now 15. Though watching babies transform into young adults, a challenging phase for any mother, the singer feels she had ample training and preparation. I've always said I have 4 children, she shares. My children have an older brother who is now 27, but when I came into his life, he was only 4 years old. She's referring to her former fiancé's eldest son, Ramon. He was the start of my parenting experiences because I wanted him to know how much I loved him. I wanted him to know how much he meant to me, regardless of if I was with his father or not. He's always been such a huge priority in my life. So I got a little crash course in teenage parenting as Ramon was growing up. They are all my greatest accomplishments, yet, she says of her children, when I see them with my youngest, Leia, who is 9, having her be the only girl, and the way that they love on her, it just lets me know that this is one thing that I got right with the 4 of them. Whether it's her adoring fans, her close-knit family, or her children, Monica makes it clear that she is surrounded by love. Yet she acknowledges that she is saving space for more. I have been alone for almost 4 years now, and I believe that was best for my children, she says, of her love life since she divorced her husband of 8 years, former NBA player Shannon Brown, in 2019. I wasn't alone because no one wanted me or because there was some curse over my life. I was alone by choice. I made a concerted effort to give my kids my time and attention so that we all could heal. After going through a time she describes as not that easy, and focusing on pouring her love energy into self and family, Monica says she is finally open to finding someone special to share her life with once again. And as with all the other markers of her life's journey, she certainly won't be shy about sharing any new developments on that front with her fans. "I can't wait to meet the person I could spend the rest of my life with," she states. "I am open to having more children and getting married. I'm not bitter or tainted by my past experiences at all. I just feel like the things that I've gone through have been to build me, not break me. Yes, there were times when I've been hurt. Of course, I've experienced having a broken heart multiple times, but I know that the right person is going to love me the right way," she concludes. "The day that I meet someone that I know is the one, my children and I are going to embrace that. I'm not afraid of love. We are not afraid of love in this house because we grew up with it and around it, and it's still here." The next article from BlackEnterprise.com is titled, "Tamia Guest Achieves Success as One of the Few Black Chiropractors." Tamia Guest, owner and founder of Rejuvenating Chiropractic, is putting her healing hands to work, according to KSBY. Guest is among less than 2.5% of black chiropractors in the field. After opening in 2013 and attending to the needs of almost 200 patients per week, the offices have expanded and opened a second location. Using her 20 years of hospital experience, Guest pursued her interest in chiropractic care. She was able to enter the entrepreneurial industry by establishing two chiropractic offices in the Dallas area. Guest opened her first office after she finished college, using college savings and support from her family. However, building her clientele was difficult. "I am very shy and introvert. You can be a good listener as far as the chiropractor and wellness, but you're going to have to be able to get people in the door because those things really don't matter if you can't get people in the door," Guest said. Guest's prior experience in healthcare contributed to her success as a chiropractor. "I already kind of had a feel for how the medical field works with many doctors, nurses, and patients." Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.